As a consequence, there was not only traditional religious anti-Semitism, but also economic anti-Semitism. The Jew as moneylender, the Jew as parasite, would become a stereotype of pre-modern Europe. Here, I think one has to underscore the fact that traditional Christian Europe forced Jews into these sorts of economic roles and then persecuted them for it. Up until the end of the 18th century, there was really no question about emancipation of the Jews. It is really with the emergence of the liberal movement in Europe at the end of the 18th century, beginning of the 19th, that the Jewish question is reformulated in modern terms. Part of the liberal agenda was emancipation. The linkage of Jews with liberalism or liberal reform dates from the period of the French Revolution. Liberal reformers demanded, as we've seen, equality before the law, emphasizing certain natural rights of all men, freedom of property, freedom of profession, freedom of movement. These were stated as, we've seen, universal principles and aimed at undermining the principles, the privileges of aristocracy and emancipating the emerging middle classes. But stated in these universal terms, liberals found it impossible to say we believe in certain things as natural rights of men, freedom of profession, freedom of property, freedom of movement, except for the Jews. As a consequence, a linkage was made between the nascent liberal movement in Europe and its demands for the emancipation of the bourgeoisie and the emancipation of the Jewish community. From the very beginning of the liberal movement in Europe, there would be this linkage of emancipation, a linkage of Jews with liberalism. The first initiatives to emancipate Jews from their social and political ghetto came in a very unlikely spot. It came in Vienna, under the reforming administration of that enlightened absolutist par excellence, Joseph II, who in 1782 took the first steps to liberate the Jewish community of the Habsburg lands. Those steps would be revoked by his successors, and would be the Habsburg Empire would languish in this regard for decades. But similar steps were taken in a number of other German states shortly thereafter, and of course in 1791, the French National Assembly passed legislation that removed all legal obstacles barring Jews from public life or professional careers. A bit later, Napoleon would reimpose some of these strictures, and those strictures remained on the books at least down to the founding of the Third Republic after the war, the Franco-Prussian War of 1870-71. During the period of restoration between 1815 and 1848, a number of German states took piecemeal steps to emancipate the Jewish community. Prussia, for example, introduced legislation in 1812, in 1830, 1833, 1847, removing one by one either economic, social, or political restrictions on the Jewish community. These bits of legislation, this piecemeal approach, reflected that a view that some sort of gradual emancipation, gradual integration into the polity and society was the best course to follow to avoid some sort of political conflict. The revolutions of 1848 brought the full emancipation of the Jews in some parts of Europe. Certainly the Frankfurt Parliament in Germany called for the full emancipation of the Jewish community. But it would be really after the failure of those revolutions, one would see a gradualist approach adopted in German Central Europe. And then finally, in the 1860s and 1870s, Jews would become full citizens with complete complements of rights in Germany after 1871 with the establishment of the German Empire, in the Habsburg monarchy in 1867, in Italy in 1870, in Great Britain in 1871, the last restrictions on Jewish participation in office holding were removed, in Switzerland 1874, and as I said, in France, the Third Republic finished the job that had been begun by the Constitution of 1791 and by the Code Napoleon.